So this morning, this difficult text, which is so important for every Christian to truly understand, because if you understand this text, you might be tormented a little bit, but if you don't understand it, you're going to be tormented a whole lot. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Monday. We hope you had a memorable 4th of July holiday, and we're glad to have you tuning in today. On the program, Pastor Bill concludes his message, Real Children of God, Part 2, from the New Testament epistle of 1 John. Now, Pastor Bill.
That's exactly what every true, real child of God does when they say, how did I get here? Oh God, look what happened. Look at me. I'm covered with junk. I'm covered with sin. Can I come home? See, that's the real nature of God in you. Amen? See, if you don't have that, they'll stay in the pig pen. That's why he says in verse 7, watch, little children, let no one deceive you. Now he's talking about false teachers as well. Let no one deceive you. He who practices, that's an ongoing habitual lifestyle of righteousness, is righteous, just as he, meaning Jesus, is righteous. He who sins or continually practices sins as a lifestyle is of the devil. Boy, is that a tough word? Is of the devil. Did you know this is a command here? Let no one deceive you. John gives a command. He says to the real children of God in every generation, he says, listen, I'm warning you not to be deceived. I am warning you never to be led astray. Led astray about what? Well, it was what the false teachers were doing. The Gnostics were denying that a believer had to be righteous or live a righteous kind of life. You don't have to walk in the light. You don't have to walk as he lied. You know, they were teaching then, and some even today, that you're so forgiven in Christ that, man, listen, you can do things even that God's word forbids you to do. Just do it. It's okay because you're saved. You're okay. No, listen, false teachers like that, are they of the wicked one? Boy, listen, they are. They have good news in their mouths, but they have the devil in their hearts. And boy, you got to watch out for that. John Chrysostom said this, to sin is human, but to persevere in sin is not human. Or to continue in sin is not human. It is altogether satanic. That's why it says it again. Look at verse 8 about those who practice righteousness are of God, and he who continuously practices an ongoing, unending lifestyle of sin is of the devil. Now listen, this is not my word, this is God's word, amen? No pastor and no Christian should ever water down this word, or we should never even soften it. He who sins is of the devil. What does that mean? It means the people in the world that are not lost, but if a Christian does this, dear Lord, it means, loved one, that if a Christian or anyone who practices the lifestyle of sin, number one, they imitate the devil, they agree with the devil, whether they know it or not, and they even live life like the devil, which is lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. It's opposed to God. It means you are now an enemy of God. It says they are Satan's children, but listen very carefully. I want to save you from a false doctrine now. It says they were Satan's spiritual children. John did not say that they were born of the devil, did it? Did it say that? No, it says there is of the devil. In other words, the reason that they're like that is because of their birth in Adam, if you will, okay? And so it denotes the source. So he says here, don't be deceived. Satan does something. He governs all those whose lifestyle is sin. Remember in Matthew 13:38, what did Jesus call the saved people, the good seed? He called us wheat, remember? But he called the bad seed in the soil, he called them tares. He called the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And do you know what he does, the devil, what he does to those that don't know Christ? In Ephesians 2:2, it says this. He says, the spirit, or the fallen angel, demons, which is Satan, who now works. That's an important word. Satan works. That word in Greek is gives energy to. Satan gives energy to dead minds and dead hearts and dead people, meaning that are spiritually dead. He works in the sons of disobedience. Satan doesn't give birth to the sons of disobedience. That came from Adam. But what he does, the prince of disobedience, he now starts working in the sons of disobedience. And I'm going to tell you something. We know what happened when we were lost. But whenever Satan finds a Christian, they're not knowledgeable of God's word. They're floating in Christianity. They're not grounded. They're not rooted. They're not studying. They're not praying. They're just floating. Boy, when Satan finds a Christian like that, that they've been made alive by the power of God, and he sees them act and live and think like dead, lost, lifeless, unregenerate man, ooh, he takes pleasure in that. He feeds you then. You're getting your nourishment from the wrong source, loved one. Man, listen, have you ever noticed that the devil, when you're tempted, he always has the right answer? He always has the right answer. If you got problems in your life, he has the right answer for every problem that you face. The problem is they are not God's answers. They are his answers, and Satan is always a liar. Amen? Very important. Now, look at verse 8 again. It says, for the devil has done something. The devil has sinned from the what? From the beginning. So if he has sinned from the beginning, it means he is the source and the originator of sin, and it also means he never ceases to sin because sin is his love, his nourishment, if you will. Now, some of you may not know this, but you see, a lot of people believe that sin began in the garden. That's not where sin began. Sin did not begin on earth. Sin began in heaven before the earth ever was. Amazing, isn't it? In other words, I encourage you to do something. Later on today, read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, and Ezekiel 28, 11, and following. Isaiah 14, 12, Ezekiel 28, and 11, and following. And you'll find out that the devil, you remember what his name was? It was Lucifer, son of the morning, the day star, you know? And what did he do? He led praise up and before the throne of God. God says, oh, you were perfect in your beauty. Until sin was found in you. Go study out in Isaiah the five I wills of Satan when he was in heaven. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. He wanted the throne of God. God said, that ain't going to happen. And what did he do? Did God cast him out of heaven? Yes, he did. And did the devil, it seems, take about a third of the angels with him? Amen? And now they are the demons. Now, Jesus told us all about the devil in John 8:44. He was talking to the religious leaders, the Jews. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. And what they wanted to do was kill Jesus, remember? And it says, and you know, he, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. That's what he did. When he deceived Eve, Eve was deceived, Adam gave his authority away. Man, spiritual death and sin now reign forever from all through mankind. He says, and he does not stand in the truth. And in the Greek, that would mean he once stood in the truth, meaning in heaven, but then he didn't want to. He left heaven. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of all lies. So Jesus came to the earth, number one, to take away our sins. Number two, to destroy the works of the devil. Look at it in verse 8 again. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen carefully. The devil's sin and the devil's work are two different things. It's important to know that. And for those who are listening, say on the radio, and you're saying, oh, you know what, there's no such thing as the devil, you're wrong. There really is a devil, the Bible says it. Amen? And you know what? The devil delights to be denied. Oh, he loves that. There's no way around it, loved one. Now look at it again, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of Man, or Son of God, I love that because this is the only time that John uses the full title of Jesus, the Son of God, his full title, his deity. He says, he was manifested, yes, to take away our sins, we already learned that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus told us what those works are in John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief, the devil, he comes to steal and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? That's what he does. So Jesus said, listen, I've come to have life. The devil's come to rip off your life. He's come to destroy you. And the word destroy doesn't mean to annihilate when he says destroy the works of the devil, but he means to render them inoperative. It means to loose those who are in bondage. And that's what Jesus did. Listen, who had the power over death before Jesus went to the cross? The devil. Remember? What did it say in Hebrews 2:9? That Jesus, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for how many people? Everyone. He tasted death. Verse 14 of Hebrews 2. And he destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. He took all of that away from him, if you will. Okay? How did he do it? He did it on the cross. Praise the Lord. Colossians what? Is it 2:15? Jesus, having disarmed or stripping the devil, all the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. He paraded them around, exposed them, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. Listen to what John Stott says. He says, if then the whole purpose of Christ first appearing was to remove sins and undo the works of the devil, listen carefully, Christians must not compromise with either sin or the devil, or they will find themselves fighting against Christ. Man, what a word is that? Look at verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now let's stop right there. When I was a baby Christian, all I did was read my Bible. I didn't know anything. Every night I would read the entire book of Acts. Every night. I loved the book of Acts. And back then there was no cell phones and internet and, the Confederate War just ended. And you know what I'm trying to say. And there was none of those things. And so I was in college, and man, I was on fire for the Lord, and I was learning, just reading and reading and reading. And in the apartment complex that I worked at, I was like the, they gave me a free room because I painted the apartments and cleaned them when people moved out. Amen? Okay. So I would, at night I would finish all that up, and I would go into my refrigerator. And back then, I had a big mason jar. Remember those mason jars? I'd fill it full of ice and pour iced tea in it. I'd get in the bed with my Bible and I'd read over and over and over. But every time I came to this verse, it killed me. And I look at it. Whoever is born again, whoever, Jesus is the Lord of their life. They've been changed. They know they're changed. Whoever has been born of God, what? Does not sin. Look at the other one. It says, he cannot sin. Listen. Can I tell you that terrified me? I read that and I did. I would go, Lord, listen, you know what I thought today. When I looked, Lord, you know. And I'd go to my new Christian friends and I'd say, what do you think about this verse, man? And they go, don't read it to me. I say, no, you got to help me. And he says, I'm still trying to quit drinking. Leave me alone, Or I'm living with my girlfriend. And I'm going, shut up. I need some answers here. Maybe I'm not born again. Do you understand? How can I be born again? And it says, I don't sin. I cannot sin. That scripture can scare you if you don't know what it means. Now, look at it again. Whoever has been born of God does not, and let's look at it in the Greek. Anyone who has been born of God does not live a continuous, ongoing, complete, habitual life of sin. Amen? Very, very important that you get that right there. Listen, 1 John 5:1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, okay? But then it also says, does not sin, cannot sin. Now listen, real children of God, do they sin? Yes, we just read 1 John 1:8 and all the way to chapter 2, verse 1, amen? Now, but here's the problem. Yes, we sin. We don't want to sin. We do sin. But we can never live in an ongoing, habitual, continual lifestyle of sin. It says he cannot sin. Why? Why can we say that? We just can't keep doing it. God gives us the answer. He said, look at it, his seed, what? Okay, his seed once imparted, remains or lives where? That means it lives in you eternally. Okay? It means, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me. Now, Christ is not going to get out of you. He has you. Amen? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So his seed remains in me. Not only that, his seed is, of course, our Lord. It's also the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ, the moment we're saved, does the Holy Spirit save us, seal us until the very day of redemption? Yes. What's the other, when it says his seed? Well, is God's word alive? When it's put into the soil of someone's heart, does it change us? Yes, it does. So his seed is also the living word of God. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, and then Peter says, not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed, that was our first birth. That's when we were born on the earth and we were born in Adam, okay, fallen. He says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now listen, your new birth, our new birth, nothing, absolutely nothing can ruin, corrupt the new birth that we have. Amen? We are sealed man forever. How about one more scripture on that? John 1:18. It says, of his own will, God's own will, he brought us forth. He saved us. How? By the word of truth. His word of truth. What did Paul write? Romans 1:16-17. What did he say? I'm not ashamed. Amen. Is that what it is? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto to whoever believes, to the Jew first and unto the Gentile. Verse 17, and the just shall live by faith. Man, we are born from above, loved one. Listen, whenever the old nature, does it sin? Yes, we're dragging this old man around. He's still in Adam. We reckon him dead, but he's not dead. We have to, by faith, we say, no, he's dead. You can't control Bill anymore. Do you understand? Okay, so the old nature will sin, but the divine nature, the new nature, which is God's seed, partakers of his divine nature, cannot sin. It can't. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. We become one with God. Do you hear me? Whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We are sons and daughters of God. So our war is not with the new man. The war is with our old man. Amen? You know, the flesh, does it lust against the spirit? Is it contrary one to another? Yes. So there's an ongoing war, loved one, all of the time. Yeah. And listen to me. A Christian, I say this in deep love. But you know what today? Christians, they feel free. They feel free. I'm saved. I've got my fire insurance. I can do anything I want to in my life. I can live without the benefit of marriage. I love her. I've said, God, I love her. She loves me. We're married in your eyes. We don't need a piece of paper. We're living together. Bull. And here's what happens. Okay, you're born again. And you know what happens when you lay beside that man and you lay beside that woman at night after you've done whatever you do and you get ready to go to sleep. You know what you're doing? Oh, God, forgive me. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm in sin. I know I'm sinning. And you are not happy. You are not at peace. And you will never be at peace. Why? Because his seed remains in you and it's tormenting the hell out of you. Amen? And that's what it does. And that's when you'll finally say, enough of it. We're going to go get married. We're going to get straight. I can't live like this any longer. Amen? Listen, I have married people that got up out of the chair in the middle of a Sunday service, and they walked up to me when I preached something like that and said, we want to be married right now. Here's my marriage license. And you were here, Rebecca, did I marry them? She's shaking. Yes, you did. Yeah. Verse 10, in this, by this, literally, by this the children of Theos, God, and the children of Diablos, the children of the devil, are what? Manifest, made clear, made evident, clearly seen. In this, the children of God, the children of the devil, are manifest. Whoever does not practice the ongoing lifestyle of righteousness, you don't belong to God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, there's going to be those maybe here, I hope not, but I guarantee you that are listening on the radio and are live, and they're going to write me. They're going to say, preacher, shut up. They're going to say, who do you think you are? If you can say that I'm a child of the devil, who do you think you are? And I'm going, I don't think I'm anyone. But I'm going to tell you this, sir, that's not my word. This is the word of the living God. And God loves us so much. Listen, he wants everyone, he wants his truth to all mankind. You are either a child of God or you are a child of the wicked one. No, I'm not. I'm an atheist. What are you going to do about that? You're a child of the devil. What are you going to do about that? I'm a tree hugger. What the heck is that? You know, man, listen, I know who I am. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I put crystals, they shine in my car. The sun hits them and it kind of reflects who I am. You're a child of the devil. But I started humming. Doesn't work. You're a child of the devil. I am an evolutionist. No, you're okay, you can be a monkey. But no, you're an agnostic. No, listen. You're either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. Amen? Now listen to me. I want you to leave here and I want you to think about this because we're going to pick up next Sunday, the Lord willing, if we're still here. God did something and we need to really understand it and believe it. God divides the entire human race from the beginning, from Adam until right now. He divides the entire human race only into two families. There is no middle ground. You are either in Adam and all die, or you are either in Christ. And if there is no fruit, you call yourself a Christian, and there's no fruit in your life, you better check the root. Do you understand? No, listen, you either have been made alive by the Spirit, or you're dead in trespasses and sins. God wants everyone saved. You know, so if you're a child of the devil, hell's going to be your home, man. And listen, that's your choice. It's your choice, not God. It's you. And you need to remember this. Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. Jesus came from heaven to this earth to take away your sins. And not only that, he came to heaven to earth to destroy the works of the devil. He did it for you. If you don't know Christ, he did it for you. He's already done it for me, but he's done it for you. If you don't know, Jesus said, listen, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the devil, oh boy. You know what Jesus said about coming to him? John 5:40. He said, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something as I close about the devil. The father of every lie, he wants to do something to you. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me now. He comes to steal. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal your mind. He wants you to think like the world. He wants you to act like the world. He wants you to live like the world. Do you understand? So he comes to steal your mind. But he also comes to do something else. He comes to steal your heart. He wants to steal your very soul. But real children of the devil can become children of God. If that's you, this is your moment to be set free. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Ask Christ right now. Ask Christ to come into your heart. Ask Christ to save you, and he will.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast today. Pastor's study continues on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.